Blog Talk Radio.
Rap Sticker Radio, premiere, twisting internet radio, listen here. You're rocking the best Thursday night on air. Urban music, culture, lifestyle, yeah. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. Brown Sugar Radio, premiere. Twisting internet radio, listen here. You're rocking the best Thursday night on air. Urban music, culture, lifestyle, yeah. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. Brown Sugar Radio is the premier choice in internet radio. You're rocking with the best every Thursday night. Live in urban music, culture, and lifestyle. That's right, www.brownsugarradio.com. Come on, keep your internet on.
Brown Sugar, brown, brown sugar. Brown Sugar, brown sugar radio.
Keep your internet on.
Brown Sugar, brown, brown sugar. Brown Sugar, Brown Sugar Radio.
B-R-O-W-N-S-U-G-A. Go run and tell the DJ. Hitting the Vegas and hitting worldwide. Brown Sugar Radio is all the way live. Let's shake the world, good night.
Yeah, 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 what up world? It's your boy PB here. I know it's probably a different voice. You all are expecting Brown Sugar, but I want to let y'all know that Brown Sugar is calling in shortly. She's, she's in rotation, let's put it that way. And she's going to be here shortly, and tonight we're going to recap all the allegations and the case that's been put out there against Bishop Eddie Long. We're going to revisit this. We had a show, well, Brown Sugar had a show on this last week. And so since it was just like a big, it was a big show, it was a big topic. A lot of people called in, a lot of people had opinions, everybody had something to say about this case. So we're going to revisit this tonight, and while we wait on Brown Sugar to call in, we're going to play a song here real fast. And the song that we're going to play, when Sugar was talking to me, she was like, PB, I want you to get a song to play until I come on the show. And, you know, me being who I am, you know, I keep a song in mind. I have a song for every occasion. So, you know, the song just came to my mind when she told me that she wanted me to play a song. The song Prayed Up by Karen Clark Sheard came to my mind because, you know, with the world that we're living in right now, you know, like, we got to be prayed up. You know, we got to pray. Like, this is what I try to tell people. You know, you can go to church, get your guidance, but at the same time as you go to church getting your guidance, you need to read the Bible for yourself, pray for yourself, you know, and just read the word for yourself. I mean, go to church, listen to your pastor, but hear the word for yourself, you know. Form your own opinion of scriptures and whatnot. So until Bronson's calling in, we're going to play Karen Clark here, Pray It Up.
Oh!
All right, everybody, that was Karen Clark Shield with Prayed Up. It's the song fits the occasion. I think we have Brown Sugar on the line. Brown Sugar. Brown Sugar. Sugar.
Hey, this is LP. Hello?
Okay, what's going on, LP?
Hey, how's it going? I was just calling in, trying to catch the show.
Okay, cool. We may know Brown Sugar to call in right now. She was running a little bit behind schedule, so I just logged in and got the show started. She should be calling in shortly.
Oh, okay, cool. So, what's going on?
Oh, not much, you know. I mean, I guess last week's show was just like a big show for Sugar. So, you know, I guess we're going to come back through and talk about the, I know it was a video release of the young man that was brought up the allegations against Bishop Eddie Long. He released a video and he was doing a little interview and he answered a few questions. So I guess Brown Sugar is going to talk about the stuff he was saying in the video tonight here.
Oh, okay. Well, I did a show also on it, and my show was called All the Bishop's Men, and it's on my Roundtable Talk or RT Talk. But anyway, I did get to watch the video of Paris. I think his name was Jamal Paris.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about this new the fourth guy, but I did watch the video of Jamal Paris, and it was very compelling. The way he told his story, you know, I have different opinions on it. Some people think that it sounds kind of rehearsed or too clean, you know, too well put together. But the brother does look like an intelligent guy who's pursuing education in college or something. So it's hard to really tell from what he said if he's telling the truth or not. But it sounds very, very compelling to me. It sounds like it could be something that's some truth to it, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, you know, all I know is this. I do want to say this. This is a lot of media attention on Bishop Eddie Long right now. I watched the part of his sermon today that he did and how he was addressed. He only addressed a little bit of the allegation stuff, but he didn't address the allegation, but he just was talking about being under attack and everything. But this brother right now, if he was to write a book, I'll put a DVD series out. He'd probably be the bestseller in America right now. It's just so much attention drawn to this whole situation.
Right. I agree with that. You know, I agree with the point that you're making that the media is covering this. And the thing that I just find strange about the whole situation is because they said that this had been going on, and before it blew up in the media, that people had been knew about it, you know, before it just took over to the big media. Before media started giving it coverage, the people around Atlanta been knew that this was going on. So, you know, I just find that strange. And, you know, with the whole, it's been 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, like, because, like, I don't understand, like, how you let this go on for this long, you know, and now you're just now speaking out. You know, with the video, with Jamal Paris in the video, he was saying that one of the points that he made is that he tried to talk to the bishop. He was just looking for guidance. You know, he was looking to talk to him and just get some guidance. You know, he wanted to talk about this. But since the pastor would not reach back out to them, you know, they decided to go public with it. I just want to know, like, basically, what kind of guidance did you want from him? You know, that's what that's why I kind of get the whole story. Like, he sounds sincere in the video. He really does. But, you know, just the stuff that he's saying just didn't add up to me. Because, like, if a person has been molesting you or whether or not, I mean, what conversation would you have for it then?
Right. You know, I was watching that Jamal Paris video, and a couple of things that stood out to me was that he said, you know, he loved the man as a father, you know, as a father figure. And, you know, I can't put myself in anybody else's shoes. But I do remember being 16 or 17, and I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I have a 15-year-old son.
There's a lot of media attention.
And when I listen to them talk about certain things, there's no way that my son could be persuaded to do something sexually with a man based on a relationship as a father figure to him, you know what I'm saying, at his age. you know. But like I said, I can't speak for everybody. Some people may be more susceptible to things than others, but I don't know about how they do their thing.
Okay,
you know,
I think
we actually got
Brown Sugar on the line. Brown Sugar, are you there?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Hey.
See, thank you for holding it down for me.
No problem, no problem.
All right. So I apologize, guys. I ran into some schedule conflicts, but I'm here. And certainly I want to go ahead and continue to have you elaborate on what you were saying. Is it LT?
Yes.
All right, LT, thank you for calling in to the show. Go ahead and finish your thoughts, what you were saying.
Oh, I was just saying pretty much I didn't have much more to say. I was saying that, some 17-year-olds, 18-year-old kids may be different, more susceptible to things of a sexual nature with somebody. But, you know, from looking at where I grew up and looking at how my kids are growing up, it's not the same situation. And it may have a lot to do with how they're brought up or not having a father in their life. But when you go as far, I mean, you might take me, you know, and get me to do some stuff with that may be a little wrong against the law. You may be able to fool me into giving you money, but to having sex with a man, I'm not susceptible to that. My kids were, so it's hard to listen to it without looking at the young men as being men that were already maybe having some confusion about their sexuality. Maybe they were gay. You know, so I think we have to look at that and not that taking advantage of anybody is right. You know, let me put that out there. It's not right. If this is true, if the bishop has done this, then it's definitely wrong on all levels. But at the same time, we have to – it's hard to even talk about it because it leans toward that the boys were gay in the first place. You know, and it's hard for you to say that without offending somebody, without somebody taking, you know, some offense to that, saying,
right,
well, hey, you trying to make them out to not be the victims, and you making, you know, I'm not saying that. But because if we look at it truthfully, in Atlanta, it's a lot of this stuff that goes on. It's a lot of down low brothers in Atlanta. It's a lot of openly gay brothers in Atlanta, and it's a lot of Christian homosexuals in Atlanta. And it's all over the country, not just Atlanta, but we know there's a plethora of homosexuality in Atlanta amongst black people. So we have to look at, he's carrying on with other gay individuals that's young, and it's just like if he was going after a girl, if that's what he wanted, a young woman, he's going after maybe a young homosexual and taking advantage of them by having sex with them. And that's what makes this a funky issue to talk about, because we have no dialogue really on homosexuals being taken advantage of by other homosexuals.
Right. And make you wonder. That's a good point that you mentioned. PB, do you have the chat open?
The chat is open.
Okay, are you under the co-host or the host?
I logged in as co-host.
Okay, so let me uncheck that. All right. Okay, but LT, that's an excellent point that you brought up. Okay, and tonight, for all of our loyal listeners that are joining us, I'm actually going into the chat right now. I have a special treat for all of you because I have a guest that will be appearing tonight, and this individual is going to actually explain a lot of the questions as to why that, you know, these boys did this and how could they do this and why did they wait so long. Well, a lot of those answers are going to be revealed tonight by a personal girlfriend of mine who actually endured sexual abuse when she was of the age of 17. All right, and that has been one of my main questions, you know, is, you know, the battle between those that believe, hey, 16, 17, they're old enough to know what's going on. They're old enough to understand that why is this happening. You know, how could they continue this? You know, then also, too, why'd they wait so long? And just all of these different questions that have possibly made the plaintiff look a little bit shiesty, if you will be answered tonight, all right? And by all means, as far as the sexuality, that has been something that can go either way, LT. And the reason I believe that is because of the simple fact that as a 15, 16-year-old boy, and I'm going to play, you actually were the one who introduced me to the Jamal Paris interview, and I have a snippet I'm going to play for those of you who have not heard it. He was actually caught off guard, and he was shopping at a 24-hour grocery store, and I'm going to share that with you tonight as you hear this young man's point of view and why he did the things he did. And to me, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense, although it's a little twisted. If you're looking at someone as your father figure, why would you allow them to continue doing this? Well, like I said earlier, we're going to have one of my girlfriends who I've known for years who's actually endured sexual abuse and how you get over that. We're going to talk about that tonight, okay? So I just want to say that I think that this entire story has been mind-blowing. PV, have you had any latest developments on the case? Have you heard anything recently today or within the last few days?
You know, the last thing that I heard was about, of course, the Jamal Paris video. That's the last thing I really seen. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's a fifth person that came out now. So I think it's the fifth person been added to this. So I don't know.
That's crazy. Okay. Yeah, yeah, so definitely I want to go over that. And as we're waiting for my special guest to call in, there's another caller, it looks like, PB, we have on the switchboard here. Let me grab and see. 704, if you're just calling to listen, certainly please let us know. Otherwise, you can certainly voice your opinion. 704, who's calling and where are you calling from?
Today or within the last few days. 704? The last thing that I heard was about...
Hello?
Of course, Jamal Paris video.
Okay, 704, they're obviously playing the show back. They're listening to it live, which is fine. 704, I guess you're just listening, and that's fine. So what we'll do at this time, like I said, I would like to go over some of the information that I've gained. And, you know, I think that he did his sermon today. I do know that. Did anyone catch his sermon? I did not get the opportunity to check it, but did either of you get a chance to see what he said today?
I saw part of it. He was putting it down on his sermon today. He really, I guess he got back in his mode. He really didn't address any allegations or anything. He was just talking about now God is working on him, and pretty much he's saying that, you know, he ain't quote unquote, he said he ain't gonna stop living. Is what he said in his sermon. And the thing I found funny is, what's up with this muscle shirt? Yeah,
he had a muscle shirt on in the pulpit today?
Yeah, I don't know what's up with the muscle shirt.
Are you serious? What? Nuh-uh, you playing. Don't
look,
tell me that.
I hope
come
I was
on.
Looking at the right video. But I think, somebody may correct me, but I think he had a muscle shirt on with a vest. And,
well, get this. The latest... That's a hot mess. In the Atlanta, that's you got me cracking up. I'm trying not to visualize that in the pulpit now. See, in the Atlanta Journal newspaper, it was quoted today, as a matter of fact. I'm reading it. It says, Eddie Long says he won't be pulled into a street fight. Okay. It goes on to say, the prominent Georgia pastor accused of coercing four young men into sexual relationships says Sunday that he won't be lured into a street fight and that his faith has been strengthened. Bishop Eddie Long did not mention the accusations to thousands of his members at the morning service. This is the thing that I find interesting about that statement, him saying he's not going to fight, getting pulled into a street fight. Didn't he just say he's going to fight this thing? Now he's saying he ain't going to get into a fist fight. What's really going on? Anyway, the story goes on to say, in the times of challenge, there are several things that come out. Your faith will be strengthened or weakened, he said, to a growing applause. He says, my faith is being strengthened. Long said he is not going to be pulled into a street fight and that he doesn't hate anyone. But he directed his listeners to turn to a page in the book of Job that read, those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the tent of the wicked will be no more. As his devoted flock cheered, Long joked that he accidentally led them to the wrong page. That was the Holy Ghost, he said, flashing a smile as the sanctuary echoed with laughter. Long's more than hour-long sermon was greeted with thousands of applauses and adoration. Several thousands flocked to the suburban Atlanta complex for the 8 a.m. service, and cars snaked in traffic for miles and miles even after it was over. It was Communion Sunday at the church, and Long didn't address the issue at the 11 a.m. service. So I guess he does two services, and we actually have that out here in Vegas, where my pastor, he does an 8 a.m. and he'll do a 10:45 also. But awesome. The interesting thing, he mentioned it in one service, said how he accidentally went to the book of Job, and then in the 11 o'clock he didn't mention anything at all. So in his sermon, he mentioned that a church mother told him that he had to be the most prayed. Hold on one second. You guys, my computer is tripping. Come on, computer. Shucks. I'm trying to read the rest of this article here, and, of course, my computer is bugging. But anyway, long story short, he was just talking about, you know, how he did not want to get into a fist fight. And I think that at this particular moment, it's a spiritual thing, absolutely. But also, too, we need to look at the fact that if these young men are coming forth and they're speaking the truth, at this particular moment, I don't believe that they feel they should have to fight. They're probably voicing their opinion. I know the Jamal Paris story, definitely we're going to get into that. And then also I have some footage from Spencer Legrand, who was the fourth plaintiff in this case, which I found his story to be quite interesting. I'll get into that a little bit later. All righty, let's see. Here it is. Long, however, mentioned that a church mother told him that he had to be the most prayed for person in the world. She said she reminded him to also pray for himself. He talked to the congregation about prayer and said, God is listening for your sound. If you never have a challenge, Long said, you never know how faithful you are. He also spoke about being strong in declaration and affirmation when seeking God's ear and seeking change in your life. So, in a nutshell, that is the latest update as far as with Eddie that I have. I want to get into this story. I'm going to have to open up another browser. This one keeps locking up on me, and it's frustrating. I do apologize, you guys. This whole night's been kind of weird, huh? How does everything's just not flowing? Is it that they don't want us to get the story out or what, man? What's going on? Dang. Now, look, I couldn't even get on the air good. I had to get PP to hold it down for me. You know what I mean? But I just think that this whole story is just mind-blowing, and it's something that it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And
you know,
I think
you know,
that – go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. No, I was going to say, that's fine. You can – if you had a – you got a comment?
Oh, well, you know, Sugar, I wrote a little article on that was inspired by this whole Bishop Eddie Long story, and I call it the Black Corsican Twins and Syndrome. I think that as black people, we want to see we attain to success. We love to see that somebody is succeeding, being that we are black and we have been disenfranchised in this country for years. So we kind of attach ourselves telepathically to somebody else. You know, we kind of, in our own way, we idolize certain things about people because if they're successful, that means I can be successful. And especially in church, where we promote that God can prosper you. He can do anything. You can be victorious in these different type of sermons and things of this nature. So, you know, with the mega churches becoming so successful, you have a lot of people in ministry looking at these people as somebody to emulate. You know, we want to be like them. We want to have our ministry grow. We want to have less. We don't want to have 200 people in the conference. We want to have 50. So we kind of
you're breaking up, Jesse.
Okay, hello. We kind of model ourselves after what we see on TV. You know, and what we see mega pastors do. And so when we model ourselves after that, then we find that we have attached ourselves to them like a Corsican. A Corsican twin is a fictional thing. And you have, and like in the movie that been put out by Cheech and Chong, one Corsican can feel the other Corsican's emotions and physical pain. So if you smack one twin, the other twin would feel it. You know what I'm saying? If this twin is getting tickled, then the other twin would feel it. And I think that blacks have attached ourselves to the people that we icon, that we put up on these high levels. And then what happens is when they're victorious and they're succeeding, we feel like we're a part of that, especially if they attend their church or listen to their sermons about their books.
Yeah.
But when they fall, you know, when the bad news comes out, then there's a distaste for media or people exposing them because we feel like we also been attributed to their failure. You know what I'm saying? So they may not suffer, but we suffer. You know, Bishop Betty Long may not be suffering as much as his congregation is suffering because they've seen him outside of a light of being just a fallible man. They have seen him as being a person that gives them hope, that gives them, you know, some kind of direction to go higher than where they are right now in their life, especially those that are struggling with life. So to see him fall is devastating to a black community of people who just want so very badly for somebody to succeed and not have any dirt on them so that we can say, you know, I want to be that person, like President Obama. They only want to discredit him in the media because they know that other blacks are attaining to be just like him. You know what I'm saying? So this coming out of stuff that's coming out against him is a double-edged sword. If it's true, then it's God doing his work and exposing what's been going on in the dark. And at the same time, it's putting people's focus back on God and not on man.
Absolutely. I agree with that, you know, at 100%. I think that one of the most disheartening things about this case is the simple fact that we as the black community sometimes can have a blind view, you know, or a distorted view on how we view our leadership in the church. And the reason I say that is because sometimes our loyalty can be so strong that it can blind us. You know what I'm saying? And that's not a good thing. I do want to make sure that we are fairly, though, speaking on behalf of the bishop. Because, like I said, he is certainly innocent until proven guilty. No one truly knows what it is that happened, you know, and so at this moment we can just only speculate. But I just want to make it clear that certainly, when I heard more information and more details about the case, it kind of shook me up a bit. And there are a few points that I want to bring out. One of them, after I heard the Jamal Paris interview, I have to be totally honest with you guys. It gave me a different view on the case. You know, when I heard him, I truly heard the conviction, you know, in his voice, and you could see the pain in his eyes. You know what I'm saying? And I just truly believe that he was sincere. Also, too, the same thing when I listened to Spencer LeGrand's interview, and he was speaking about the situation, and I just feel like he poured out, you know, his heart. You know what I'm saying? He really he wasn't really dogging the bishop, and that's what I really enjoyed the most about his interview, because he didn't come out, he didn't give too many details other than what's in his court documents. And even then, he really didn't get into it too much. But I still feel that, you know, what he said was enough, you know, and certainly we'll have to wait until the court documents play out. Now, I think one of the most troubling statements that was made from Jamal Paris was when he stated that they tried to go to the bishop and resolve this in private. That was one of the issues that I was concerned with. Like, why are they bringing this publicly? I understand they may need to heal. I understand they may be upset. You know, I understand that they felt like they were dogged. Basically, according to Jamal's interview, these young men were you know, wined and dined, and then basically they, yes. you know, performed sexual favors, whatever may be the case, and then when Bishop was done with them, allegedly they were dropped like a hot potato. All right?
Yes.
So, yeah. So go ahead, PB, you have to say something?
You know, I was just going to add in on to the point that you were making there. You know, me and you spoke about this the other day, and, you know, we were talking about once we seen the Jamal Price video, and, you know, I was kind of on the same page you were. You know, I was like, you know, this got to be real, you know, because the guy looked directly in the camera. Like, he looked like you said, he looked very sincere about the whole situation. But then, you know, after I looked at the video again, you know, and he said that this is not about money. It's not about money. But then, at the same time, you look at it where he says that if Bishop Eddie Long would have talked to them, they would have went public with this. So I'm trying to figure out, like, if a person has been molesting you for all these years or whatever, what would you want to talk to them about? Like, what would you have to, like, to me, I don't know because I've never been molested, but I'm saying to me, I would think that, like, you would want to be away from that person. Like, you wouldn't want nothing else to do with that person, you know? But, like, I don't understand. They saying they was reaching out to him, trying to talk to him, steady seeking more guidance. And I'm trying to figure out what more guidance could you want from a person that's doing something to you that you know and he knows is wrong. Like, what more could you want from them? I don't understand.
Absolutely.
That's why
and you know what? That's why I can't wait for our guest speaker to speak tonight, because when I spoke with her, she helped to clear up some of those unanswered questions. You know, I couldn't understand it for myself. And I remember asking her, what was it, you know, that made you finally approach your predator? And one of the most amazing things that she said, and I'm trying not to give up too much because I want her to tell the story herself, she said that the Holy Spirit was what led her. And she also did not approach her predator until years later. So, you know, listening to her story and listening to how everything she said was like an echo of what Jamal said and what, you know, Maurice may have said in his statement and Spencer. It was crazy because she didn't even really know the story, and I invited her onto the show tonight. She should be calling in the next few minutes. And I was sharing with her, I said, you know, I'm really troubled by this Bishop Eddie Long story. I need to get clarity on this. And I knew her story in regards to her being abused. And when I asked her these questions that have been puzzling to me, you know, wait a minute, I have her on the line now. You guys, I do see her. I'm so glad, because I don't want to tell too much of her story. So I'm going to let her go ahead and share it. Ah, shucks. I wonder if her call, shucks. Okay.
But you know, Sugar, if I can make one point.
Her call dropped. She'll call right back in.
Okay, while you figure that out, if I could just make one point. This is what kind of makes me question this whole thing, is because I just think, like, maybe if when the they say they tried to reach out to Bishop Eddie Long and he didn't reach back out to them, I just wonder, like, if he would reach back out to them, would we even be hearing this right now? Like, would this even be where it's at right now if he just reached back out to
them?
I
hear you, PB. I want to grab her call because I think she's having problems with her phone. I see her phone number keep popping up and dropping on the switchboard. She's going to answer these questions for us. All right. Our special guest caller for the evening, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You are live on Brown Sugar Radio.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I keep seeing your phone pop, your phone going back and forth, so I wanted to grab you. Are you having problems with your phone?
No, not really. I can hear the show, but I just wasn't sure if I was connected or not. I'm here.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Now, I don't know, would you like for me to address you by your name, or did you want to remain anonymous?
That's fine. I have nothing to hide. You can say my name.
Okay. All right, you guys, this is my girlfriend. We've been friends for over 8 years. Her name is Raquel Love, and Raquel Love is going to share her story, because a lot of these questions that we're asking, one, Raquel Leonard, who was on the line, I think he's still on the line, Leonard was asking, as far as being a young man, you know, why is it, like, if they know they're not gay, why would they let this man touch them? And then, two, I had PB just say, you know, as you probably heard his question, in regards to, you know, at first he believed, the young man said it's not about money, but then when Bishop would not speak to them, why are they going public with it now? You know, and then why are they waiting so long? There's a lot of the unresolved questions that people have, you know, dealing with this type of situation. And I was mm-hmm. just kind of telling them bits and pieces because I wanted you to share the full details of your story. But number one, a lot of people don't understand why do people wait so long when they have been molested, you know, or when they have been tricked by the enemy. And then why is it also that, you know, when you meet your predator, like PB said, you would think you wouldn't want nothing to do with it. Why do they confront them? So please share with us mm-hmm. your story, Raquel. Thank you so much, too, for coming on Brown Sugar Radio tonight and being so courageous.
Well, thank you for having me. I am, first of all, I just thank you for the opportunity, and I'm a bit nervous, but I'm not nervous because of fear. I'm nervous because I pray in my heart, in my the deepest part of me, that this will help someone. First of all, what I want to say is I can only speak from my experience. My memories did not come up until I was 26 years old, at which I had a dream for about 3 days straight, and I realized that the person in the dream, the little girl in the dream, was me. Since then, I have been in recovery and counseling. It's been almost 8 years now, and I'm able to tell my story without too much difficulty. As far as wanting to approach your predator or your or hello? Hello? As far as wanting to have, you know, something to say to them, it's hard. It's hard to realize that someone that's supposed to care for you, that lured you in and got your trust, and what they do is they groom you. There are stages that they take you through on purpose to prepare you for the actual act. And sometimes this takes months, sometimes it takes years, but they have that intent in mind at the beginning already. They pick you out. So that's one thing. The other question is for myself. The only purpose in confronting my perpetrator was to – that's part of my recovery, to let him know that I am moving on. I'm stronger, even though it is hard. And in forgiving you, I release your power over me. That's the second mm-hmm. thing.
Right.
The third thing is it is just hard for the natural mind to conceive or to even process that a person would willingly violate another person on that level. For me, my soul had been polluted on so many different levels, and it's going to take me the rest of my natural life to allow the Holy Spirit to peel back those layers one at a time. You know what I mean? It's just an ongoing thing. It's an ugly thing. It's a sensitive thing, but it's necessary to do it so that you can live a good portion of your life while you're still on the earth.
That's right.
And if you don't confront, if I hadn't confronted my perpetrator, and there's been more than one of which was a family member, if I hadn't confronted them, I would still, you know, be looking over my shoulder, and I would that fear would still be gripping me. I'm able to say today that through recovery with a licensed psychologist and I have a support group that I go to every week, I'm able to forgive that family member and love him by choice, walking in victory over this thing. Is it easy? No. It's hard.
Uh-huh.
But I decided that I want to live my life, that they couldn't, he could, I wasn't going to let him take whatever I have left.
Right.
And that's pretty much what I can say about it.
Right. And so, now it brings clarity in regards to asking, you know, why is it that it takes so long? You had to be led by the Holy Spirit in order to even know what to say.
Absolutely, because it's an emotional thing. You don't have boundaries. Once somebody is violated, once someone violates that trust, and it goes against the natural laws of what it means, what like a natural child expects the people in their life to love them and nurture them and to be able to trust them. once that is violated, that whole system, that whole, the way you're supposed to act and function, that is completely disturbed and contorted to where you have to learn healthy boundaries. You have to learn how to trust and you have to learn how to allow those boundaries to be rebuilt. That's what I mean when I said the layers of your soul that are poisoned and affected is deep. It runs deep.
Right. PB, I'd like for you, and I'm glad you're mentioning this. PB, I see your comment in the chat room, and maybe she can clarify this for you. When you're saying you find it hard that a male would let another male abuse him if they weren't interested already, and you were mentioning how even though Raquel was abused by a man, you know, not another woman, so you're thinking of that the boys might have already been gay. Is that what you're indicating?
I don't know. Like, I don't want to just say that, but, you know, that's a question that you have to ask. You know, that's a question that has to be asked, you know, because, like, at the age of 16, you kind of know. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, because, like, when I was small, my mama sat down with me and taught me this. Like, a person not supposed to, when you go to school, a person not supposed to touch you here, a person not supposed to touch you there. So I'm pretty sure at 16 years of age, you kind of got an idea of who's supposed to touch you and what's not supposed to touch you, you know. And I can see if you are abused, you know, it's a different thing between being, I like to think that it's a difference between being abused and being raped, you know, because, like, I could see one time it happening, you know, then, you know, you might have been against it, but, you know, you let this go on for, like, 5-6 years. You know, you let this go on for 6 years, and now you're just now coming out with it. That makes me question. Like, I'm like the other guy that said earlier, that kind of makes me question if they were not already interested in it, you know?
Right, right. And one of the things I wanted to mention with Raquel, I think with her and the young man, both of the incidences were against their will. You know, like they felt like, Raquel, can you explain to them how you were sharing with me the 15, 16-year-old? They should have known better. You were 16 years old when this happened to you, and the gentleman was in his, what was it, 30s or 40s?
Uh-huh. Well, initially,
and they feel at 16 that they understand. Break it down how you broke it down for me, saying that at 16, you know, the mindset you had.
Well, all I can say is what I experienced. First of all, the violation that happened to me happened when I was younger. I mean, like 3 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened first by a family member. And then as I went along, see, that's what I meant when I say that predators, they can smell you. They know what you look like. They know what you sound like. They know if you're lonely. They know if you're confused. They know if you've just had a fight with your daddy because whatever, whatever. They can sense you, and they seek you out purposely. And what they do is they groom you. There are steps that they take, whether they find out what you like, they gain your trust. They find out there's another step, and I really can't say what it is, but I know that there are steps that a predator will take on purpose to pull you in so that once they get you to where they want you before the physical act takes place, then you locked in, baby. Now, as far as knowing with your natural mind it's wrong, of course you know it's wrong because it's not natural for another man to touch another man in a sexual way. If they hadn't been intimate before, we don't know. These young men could have been molested at 3, molested at 2. You know, I know someone that was molested pre-verbal. That means before she could even talk. Okay, so that's one point of view. Okay, if they had already been molested before the other incident at 16. My experience at 17, I was at a car lot buying a car with my sister. And this particular gentleman, I mean, everybody has debates on what is abuse and what's not. All I know is we were in a public place. I was 16 and a half years old, and this man fondled me in the presence of other people. And I was frozen with fear. I did not know that I could bite his hand or tell him no or punch him in the elbow, you know, and it, you know, I didn't realize, I didn't know that I could tell him no.
Right, because you're thinking, and this is an adult, I got to respect my elders, you know. Yeah.
And I was just paralyzed with fear. For anybody to have that much gall in broad daylight with other people around, if he will do that, how do I know he won't hurt me? And so I froze. And that's what happened. And from that, you think, it's, oh, that ain't nothing. But to me, who had already been violated, that was huge. And it took me years to be able to confront that man. I was sharing with our host that years later, when I saw this same person also out in a public place, I was with other people, and all of a sudden I was thrown back to 16 and a half years old, and that same fear gripped me, and I wanted to run. I went right back to the stage I was when he violated me. And then the Holy Spirit had to prompt me, I believe it was the same week, in a Bible study, to write him this note telling him, I remember what you did to me. I forgive you. It was hard. That man took that forgiveness, that note that I gave him, and perverted it. He thought I was giving him my phone number. That hurt me. But because the Holy Spirit prompted me to do it, I mean, that's just another layer of pulling back, recovering, getting stronger, getting better. I mean, I can't say why these men did what they did. All I know is what I lived through and what I'm still working on, even today. Are you there?
Yes, we are here. You know, I absolutely agree. I agree with the point that you're making. But, you know, I just find it hard. You know, like, when you were abused, you were, like, you were younger, right? You said you were younger.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, you know, and I mean, I'm not taking away from the situation, like, because I see people in the chat room are saying that abusing kids, and like, so we saying that it's okay to abuse kids. By all means, that's not what I'm saying at all. Because, you know, like I'm saying, the point that I'm making here, if he did do anything, you know, he would have to answer to God for that, you know, first and foremost. So if he did do it, he wrong. I'm just saying, to me, I just find this a little ironic that you come out and you say, because I'm just going by the stuff that was said on the videotape by Jamal. He said that he tried to reach out to the pastor, to Bishop Eddie Long, and if Bishop Eddie Long would have replied, they would have never went public with this. So I'm trying to fit that. That makes me kind of think that maybe this is just about money, because if you say that you, if the bishop would have just spoke back to you, you wouldn't have went public with this. So that makes me think, like, maybe you were trying to reach out to him to get money, and he didn't reply, and so now you want to blow this up to the media. You know, that's just one of my speculations. I'm just saying.
Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Can anybody hear me?
Oh.
Hello?
Yeah. Somebody say hello. I hear him.
Oh, okay. That's me. I think that it's like a Pandora's box, and I was listening to what the young lady was saying, and especially because this is what's never really called out in public. Or violated or had their trust broken to come out and say a lot of these things he said. But a relationship is what I said that he had with Bishop Eddie Long. And if he's had a relationship with him, within him being mistreated or sexually harassed or abused, there becomes a relationship between the two. And he said he loved Bishop Eddie Long. And you could tell from what he was saying that it wasn't just a fatherly love. There was a physical and emotional love between the two. And sometimes a person is in victim mode for so long they don't realize that there are victims. They're enjoying this relationship that they're having with somebody else because they've been broken down to such a low level that it's okay. And it's you know, from what he's saying, you know, the allegations is that he started when the boy was 14, gaining his trust and getting to know him and different things of this nature. And like the lady was saying, he could have been abused sexually before, and that's what made him susceptible to a man now going there with him.
So he might not have even been gay. He might have just been violated when he was younger. And now this predator comes along, and like she says, they said in their allegations that he used the school to weed out those that would be susceptible to it.
Right.
So he just didn't pick up, he didn't pick the macho brother who was like, if he came at him like that, it would be on. So he probably picked the one who seemed to be more floating on his every word and trust. And this is what's so bad about it, if it is true, is that a person who has been victimized is looking for somebody to help them heal, and they find themselves being victimized once more. We see it with young women all the time, and we never really talk about it too much because we just blow it off as they became hookers or they became strippers or whatever. They just went out there and started living that life. But, the majority of them were victimized and violated at young ages. And so they're stuck in that. And some are seeking a way out and find themselves just in the same rut, doing the same thing because they come accustomed to it. You know, we can, and a human, the thing about a human being that's so unique, I believe, is that a human being can adapt to any situation or circumstance, and if you can justify it, you can live with it. So I can see that what I see and what you're saying, PB, and I agree 100% with you, that there is something about him coming out now. And what I believe is that they weren't at the stage from 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, they were carrying on with the bishop. It's when the bishop cut them off. And that's where the pain came in from what the guy was saying, what he's alleging. It's not so much that he was being violated to do things he didn't want to do because he got accustomed to it. What the pain was is the connection and relationship that he had with this man who was showing him a form of love, who was showing him a form of attention with gifts and making him feel special. Yeah, I'm going to take from you, but I'm going to give you a car. I'm going to let you drive my Maybach. I'm going to let you go on trips with me. I'm going to let you guys have some money. Here's a couple thousand for your pocket. So to cut that off, you know what I'm saying? To cut off, there are already victims violated probably in their life. Let's just see them as that they were violated, molested, what have you, and they were susceptible to this man coming along. Now, instead of being victimized like they were before, now you have a powerful, prominent man who is changing your life, who probably is going to make you a successful person some kind of way within his church, within his ministry, within things that he's promising to do. And to just shut that off, you know what I'm saying, that's where the anger and resentment, it's like, how could you do me like this? How could you set me up like this? How could you take advantage of me?
Right, you love
knowing
me.
I was
you
hurt.
You said you were going to be there for me. Yeah,
yeah.
We had this bond. You said I'd have your back and you'd have mine, but what happened? I got dropped like a hot potato when you allegedly ran onto another young man. I want to play this snippet real quick. I see the chat room is filling up. Raquel, I'd love for you to hear this because I know you have not had the opportunity to actually hear a lot of the interviews from these young men, and that's why I founded a divine appointment, as we spoke earlier, for you to come on the show, because a lot of the things you were saying, now mind you, like I said earlier, she has not heard this interview, and a lot of the things she was saying, how she dealt with her situation, I heard an echo with Jamal Paris. He said the exact same thing. Or if I didn't hear from him, I heard it from another plaintiff in the case, which is, we're going to play his, Spencer LeGrand. We'll play his interview shortly. All right, so definitely, you guys, I'm going to play it now. This is Jamal Paris, and he did not go on CNN. He did not go on Larry King Live or Oprah, although he's been offered. They hunted him down at a grocery store. He was going to the store late at night, all right, trying to just do his regular shopping. The press hunted him down. He reluctantly continued to turn it down. And what triggered the statement, it was reported that the interviewer said, if you don't speak out and stop this, that this is going to continue to go on. You know, something to the effect of, how are we going to stop this abuse taking place if you don't speak up? And I think that's what triggered it for Jamal, is allegedly what was said. So you guys keep it locked. Here's Jamal Paris' interview on the hurt and pain and agony he's facing behind Bishop Eddie Long. We'll be right back.
Russell first broke this story. He's here with his exclusive report tonight, Dale. Tom, following Bishop Long's sermon on Sunday, we caught a plane to Colorado, home to Jamal Paris. the oldest of all the accusers in the case. And in a parking lot late at night, he told us a story of love, anger, and his desire to protect other young men. Now, this is a very serious allegation, but no one has heard from you. Jamal Paris didn't want to talk at first, but before he left us, he had plenty to say about Bishop Eddie Long.
If you look at us in our eyes and you hear the pain in our voice, we don't have a reason to lie to this man.
Jamal Paris is one of the four young men who have filed sexual misconduct lawsuits against Bishop Long, accusing him of using scripture and church money to sexually seduce young men.
But I am not the man that's being portrayed on the television. That's not me.
On Sunday, Bishop Eddie Long spoke out for the first time, never flatly denying the claims, but vowing to fight.
I feel like David against Goliath.
Since the lawsuits were filed last week, none of the four young men involved have talked publicly. Until now, we found Jamal Paris shopping at a 24-hour store in Colorado. Initially, he was reluctant to talk.
Steele Russell of Fox 5 News in Atlanta. Can we talk to you for a second?
But once he started, he told a riveting story about how as a young teen, a 14-year-old with no father in his life, he joined New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. Bishop Eddie Long came into his life. He said Long said to call him daddy and to trust him with spiritual guidance.
I loved him, and I'm always going to have love for the things that he taught me. But how he left us, I hurt worse than anything I ever felt in my life.
Paris claims in his lawsuit a father-like figure used scripture to justify sex, and he lavished money, cars, jewelry, trips in the bishop's private jet, even homes for some teens, sometimes with funds from the church coffers.
You finally have a father that you've always wanted for and always dreamed of would just walk away from you if you don't give him what you want. So you end up turning into something you never thought you'd be, which is now a slave to a man that you love.
Jamal says the bishop began a slow sexual seduction, which became intimate and more intense after the young boys became of legal age.
So while the media and the press and the rest of the people around the city or around the country look at us like, how can a grown man let another man touch him? What you have to understand is this man manipulated us from childhood. This was our father, and we loved him.
Through his attorney, Craig Gillen, Bishop Long has called the allegations in the lawsuit false. In the end, Paris says when the bishop loses interest in sex and sets his sights on other young men, the boys are left behind.
This man turned his back on us when he had no more need for us. That's not a father. That's a predator.
Paris says he attempted to resolve the matter privately with the bishop, but when that didn't work, lawsuits were filed publicly identifying the four young men accusing the bishop.
We would have to be the craziest kids in the world to want to come out and admit another man touching on us publicly. To really believe this is about money would be absolutely ludicrous.
He says at one time he loved Bishop Eddie Long, but he can't escape the nightmare of what he says Long did to him as a young man.
I cannot get the sound of his voice out of my head, and I cannot forget the smell of his cologne, and I cannot forget the way that he made me cry many nights when I drove in his cars on the way home, not able to take enough showers to wipe the smell of him off of my body.
Jamal Paris, near the end of our interview, said he wanted to speak directly to Bishop Eddie Long, and he turned to our camera to do so.
But that man cannot look me in my eye and tell me we did not live this pain. While you can sit in front of the church and tell them that you categorically deny it, you can't say that to our face. And you know this. You are not a man, you are a monster.
And then Jamal Paris got into his car and drove off into the night. Now, we tried to contact Bishop Long. His spokesperson told me that they will have a comment after they see this story. Now, tomorrow night, a lot more from Jamal Paris, including the behind-the-scenes story on those pictures we've all seen of the bishop in the bathroom. It's a fascinating tale. We'll have more from Jamal on our website, myfoxatlanta.com, including some sound bites from him that you didn't hear in the package
And you can follow all of my coverage through my Facebook and Twitter account as well. Tom?
Very compelling. The young man speaks with a lot of conviction. We hope to hear from Eddie Long on this. Why now, though, is the question. Why is he coming forward now?
He says, and he says this repeatedly in the interview, that he wants everybody to know this is not about money. He said, what I want to do in filing this lawsuit and the other young men in filing the lawsuits is make sure that no other young man like myself is ever hurt again. At one point in time, he just turned to me and said, enough is enough. This needs to stop. So that's what he says his motive is. Of course, Bishop Long has denied every one of these allegations, though he didn't flatly deny it in the sermon. He has said, I'm not that man and I'll fight. So obviously we're at the very beginning of what's going to be a long court battle.
Well, great work finding Jamal and hearing his thoughts on this entire ordeal.
Thanks.
Bill, thanks.
Okay, you are. That was just the clip of Jamal Price interview that he gave outside of a Colorado 24-hour grocery shopping store. You know, I just don't know, y'all. I mean, I don't know what y'all think, but, I mean, I just don't get it. I don't know how you can just listen to that. You know, I don't know how you could just listen to that and say that this is not about money. I mean, that might just be me. I'm not, now listen, I'm still not saying that the bishop is not guilty before I say this. I'm not saying that he's not guilty, but I'm just saying, to me, it sounds like they're trying to get some money out of this deal, too. I mean, I'm just saying, that don't make sense because you saying that you're trying to make sure that he don't do this to other little boys, but at the same time, you could have been saying something.
Absolutely. I agree. No, I apologize, you guys. I was just talking, and my phone was on mute. Yeah, that's funny. Raquel, I know you may have to go. I wanted to ask you, after hearing that clip, do you feel that it is money-motivated or is sincere?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I'm in the middle with it. All I can say is, yes, there was sincerity there, but on the other hand, I'm already a victim. You already did what you did. I may as well get something out of it. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what I think. That's what I think.
Uh-huh.
I think they're saying, you know, you did this
to
me. Right.
I have nothing else to lose, so I may as well, if you did what you did, you know, you didn't want to keep doing it, so if I have to live with the shame that I let another man do what you did to me, I want some restitution. You need to pay me. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I believe that. I 100% believe that. It's just like if you were next to – I mean, we have to look at – Bishop Eddie Long is a celebrity. He's a millionaire, you know, and some people are hanging around him for various reasons. And if he was taking care of these boys like the allegations say – You know, and to cut them off, yeah. You know, I can feel that sentiment. I can feel exactly what they're saying. They're like, hey, you know, you're going to do me like this and then just bounce and they got, you know, oh, okay.
We have some callers that are on the line here. I want to take these calls real quick. But before I do so, Juan, Raquel, if you have to go, I totally understand. If you want to stay on a little bit longer, I have another snippet I wanted to play for the fourth victim. But it's up to you. Let me know, can we keep you a little longer or do you have to go?
I can stay on for a few more minutes.
Okay, thank you. Callers, I'm going to come at you. I just want to make this point real quick. Sometimes God has to get you angry, though, in order to do his will. And what I mean by that is if we were to continue, and let's say if these gentlemen were to continue to live in sin and to continue to get these gifts and have sex and that and the other, no one would report it. No one would tell it. Nobody would call Eddie out, hypothetically, if these allegations are true. All right? So maybe God had to get them at that point where they were fed up. And he, like he said, enough is enough. And as we have spoke earlier, LT, remember how we were mentioning about when God wants to make sure that, hey, listen, he's cleaning house. He wants his flock to be led and to be led properly. He does not want them to be led astray. And if he sees all this is going on underneath, he's probably like, look, I got to get these people mad enough to where they're going to come forth and they're going to tell the truth. Or they may not have even came in anger, like with Spencer, LeGrand's story. He says, I have no anger. He says, I love Bishop. I pray for Bishop. He says, but I had to get delivered. In order for me to be completely free, he had to go public with it. So God may be using him in another avenue as far as, you know, how he's going to get delivered from it, but at the same time, maybe to expose the bishop.
Yeah.
So it can work either way. Let me grab these callers real quick. I have a ton of them holding on the line. 786, you're on the air with Brown Sugar Radio. Where are you calling from and who's calling?
Hey, what's going on?
786?
Yes.
All right, we'll keep it moving. 205, you're on the air with Brown Sugar Radio. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Jill from Alabama.
Hi, Jill. Thanks for calling in tonight from Brown Sugar Radio on this case.
Just a couple of things. I wanted to remind everyone that one of the young men said that some of them were victimized. They were victimized at 16. And while 16 may be a legal age of consent, 16 is still young when you're talking about a 30-plus-year-old person. And as we said,
absolutely,
with power coming to you. So we're not talking about two teenagers or somebody 5 years older. We're talking about a 30-plus-year-old person coming at you. So regardless of how we think what their motivation is now, it can't erase the fact that I know I have a son, and if at 16 he tells me that happened to him and he would be 20 years old, it wouldn't erase the fact that it happened at 16. And 16 is a child. So either way we look at it, this is a child and an adult old man, and that doesn't make sense. So we have to really keep that. And even now, they're still immature 20-year-old young men with a 50-plus-year-old person that they're coming against. And sometimes the only way to come against a person of power is to hit them where it makes a difference. And the only place it makes a difference in many cases is with either money or reputation. So whether right or wrong, the only way I can come at you is the way it hurts you. I can't come at you any other way. So in praying for them, we've really got to just keep that in mind, that they're not two young men. They weren't the same age. They weren't peers.
Absolutely.
It was a totally different situation. So
because the game I agree with that 100%, because the game that allegedly Bishop Eddie Long was coming at them with, you know, grooming them, fine trips, diamonds, introducing them to celebrities, you know, that in itself, the 16-year-old was mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was starstruck, you know, getting money. You know, one of the fathers even came out and said, I could not keep up with Bishop Eddie Long. You know, here he probably wanted to give his son a $20 allowance, and Bishop's giving him thousands, you know, a Bentley or $1,000, gold watches, whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy. And I agree with you, because I truly feel that, you know, with them being old enough, yes, to know right from wrong, to know the mindset and the game that's played, you know, in the adult world is a whole different ball game, totally different. Because they know how to mentally, you know, twist things and make it sound that this is the right thing to do. And many of the young men said that Bishop made sex, he stated sex was a healthy thing for their spiritual life. Now, yes, that's true if you're married, but he twisted it and made it seem that it was okay what they were doing.
Right.
But, you know, I think the problem that is hard to see. I don't even think anybody was 16. I just read it was 17 and 18 when this supposedly they started having sex. But what is hard for men, and this is what goes on in men conversations when I talk to guys about this whole situation or it's brought to me, is the men that are straight, they just can't see a 17, 18-year-old man as a boy as a victim, because we all go back to our mind when we were 17, 18, we were chasing girls. That what was on our mind was girls. And there was no way another brother man, and a lot of women need to realize that men are so, they're straight men, I should say, are so affectionate and effeminate with each other that when we use the bathroom, we give 3-4 stalls in between us. When we hug or handshake, it's very brief. You know, so it's hard for men to realize, you know, to see, I should say,
a young man at 16 or 17 is pretty much as high he's going to think when he's 25.
Right.
It's just
right.
A decision
hold
he hasn't made yet.
I got a couple of more callers I want to grab. They've been holding for quite some time, but that's an excellent point, and thank you for bringing that to our attention. 786, you're on the air with Brown Sugar Radio. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Welcome to Brown Sugar Radio.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on tonight's topic?
Oh, what's going on? This is People Connect Radio in the chat room. I called early. You can hear me. But, I don't really think people is really just listening to the facts of what the attorney is saying so far in this case. I think we're just all speculating as far as what could have been and what could have happened because another pastor has done it and what she said. I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know. I mean, people aren't really looking at the facts of what have they said so far, and are we just thinking about what they said so far? And it's not really adding up, and it doesn't really make sense. And for these boys to even have these interviews on television already, where the media somehow just chased them down in a parking lot somehow. I mean, it doesn't seem strange to you. First of all, how did they find him? How did they find him? They say on tape that they found him in the parking lot. How?
Right. It's amazing the information that people can have on you. And I guess the only way that is somewhat credible to me, you know how, like, let's say Kim Kardashian or Sierra or whatever, they can be eating lunch at a certain restaurant. Well, how do people know they were at that restaurant? You know, they have people that they hire to actually be, like, investigators.
You tell them two totally different people. Kim Kardashian is a gazillionaire, and this boy is just someone who just made some allegations.
He's not rich. You're absolutely right. But this case is a worldwide case now. You feel me? People all over
the
world.
Facts.
CNN, once they got a hold of the case, it is a worldwide case. So this young man is famous now. And it kind of reminds me of OJ.
He's famous. But at the same time, I mean, look at the facts. Look at the facts about the pictures. They're saying because this guy, the bishop, sent two fully dressed pictures, which he was fully dressed.
The pictures to me aren't incriminating at all.
Hello?
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 Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello? Okay.
Yes,
are you there, people? Go ahead and finish your thought.
Yeah, and another fact people aren't really looking at that I've said over and over is if the boys and Bishop was having sex for years, why would he just send him those pictures of him fully dressed? They've already seen each other completely naked for years. So why would he send the same two pictures just so happened to the same three guys after they have been naked for years? How come? Because that picture was taken with an iPhone 3G. So the pictures were just taken in the last couple of years. Why would he have sent those pictures of him fully dressed? How come he wasn't nude or half nude in the pictures or anything? He was in workout clothes and he was in jeans. So you got to think about
supposedly
that.
Supposedly there was a burglary, supposedly took some electronic telephones or something like that.
It was his black diamonds, allegedly.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a phone. I thought it was a phone, too. Remember, I was reporting it was a phone. I found out it was some black diamonds that had gotten stolen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but I hear you, people, and the points you're bringing out are absolutely good points to think of. You know, we can't just overlook that. To me, when I first seen the pictures, I didn't really think they were that incriminating, you know, because I'm thinking, like, it really doesn't show nothing or prove anything. If he was nude or if he had a picture of him kissing, then absolutely, you know.
The pictures were taken in the last 2 years for sure, and it makes no sense that if they have been laying down sexually since 2001 or 2002, now he's just going to say, hey, let me remind you of what I look like in these certain clothes. Even though you have seen my body completely naked when I was younger, now that I'm 57, here, let me send you some pictures of me completely dressed, and I'll send them to all three people. Man, that's crazy.
No, the pictures were Jamal Paris's pictures. Those were only his. The other guys, they did not have those. Yeah, that was Jamal's pictures. He said that, those were just his pictures. According to the report, it states that he sent the pictures to him because he was showing him how he wanted to exercise and work out and build his body up for him, have his chest looking all good and stuff, allegedly. So.
Well, I think that would have been discussed over the years. I don't think that would just come out then.
Right.
That's crazy.
I appreciate your points, and thank you so much for bringing that. I need to grab a couple of more callers, people. All right, but thank you so much for calling into the show.
All right.
Okay, 7-4, you're on the air with Brown Sugar Radio. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
7-4, let me send you some pictures of me.
Hello?
Interest, and I'll send them to all
704, all right, moving on to the next one. 337, you're on the air with Brown Sugar Radio. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hello, Brown Sugar. This is Extraordinaire calling from Southwest Louisiana in Broussard, Lafayette. You guys.
Hey, Extraordinaire. Long time
Lafayette.
No hear
yes.
from. Thanks for
yes.
calling into the show tonight.
I am Extraordinaire.
What are your thoughts in regards
you are
to
having
Bishop
a very
Edelman.
Good show, fantastic show. I won't delay it, so let me jump right on it and ride with this train. Okay. Here's my assessment, and your co-host, I assume he's your co-host, keep riding on this thing about the money. Come on, we live in America, people. Everything in America is always about the money. But I do not like the fact, because everything in America is about the money, this case is not necessary. I think to demean these boys and just lay it all out that everything is about the money, it's a disservice as to what happened to them. We all human beings, okay? Something bad happened to them repeatedly. Money is going to come, so please don't keep throwing that on the fire. It's all about the money. The money is going to come anyway from this situation. You know, anytime there is any sexual allocation, whether it's male on male, female on female, male on female, female on male, okay, money is going to be involved. So please, I know he's an intelligent man, so please accept that deliberation coming from Extraordinaire. Secondly, I also like to add this point to your show. Oh, it's three points I'd like to make. The second point, Bishop Eddie Long is planning on defending himself. Where he's going to get the funds from? He's going to get the funds from the church. That's a whole other can that I think we as intelligent people, we need to be unscrewing different cans than going around, driving a wagon around the same circle. Okay, we already know some of the facts of this case. He's going to be getting funds from the church. Thirdly, and this is a hot potato that Extraordinaire have been thinking about. Who was Eddie Long's best friend that he confided in? And for you all to act like you don't know, I'm going to say it because my little time is short and this is your show. Eddie Long and Bishop T.D. Jakes are extremely good friends. If you don't know it, you do know it now. They're extremely good friends. If you have a good friend, I have a good friend, certain things you say to your friend. It is very strange to me, and I Googled this before I made this statement. You can't find T.D. Jakes making a comment anywhere about this situation. Usually they've had every other professor, gospel preacher on there making comments about this point, angling that way, this way, and the other. Couldn't find T.D. Jakes anywhere. I am concerned. Extraordinary is extremely concerned about T.D. Jakes. And I'm not trying to throw him in anything, but I am just saying they are
right.
friends.
I actually have a snippet of Bishop T.D. Jakes. He did make a comment on it. I'm so glad you brought that up because that was going to be my next thought was we're going to play Bishop T.D. Jakes' thought, what he said, you know, to his congregation. So we're going to actually play that now because I only have a few minutes remaining.
Very good.
But before I do that, PB, I know you wanted to address Extraordinaire. Go ahead and do that. And then I'm going to actually extend the show just for a few minutes so I can play these last two snippets I have.
Okay. If I could just address the comment that he made. But what we have to remember is, like, with this whole case, we have to remember this. We can't just be biased. You know, you saying that I quit bringing up the money, issue, but we have to remember you can't be biased with this because this is a new story. We don't know what happened. You don't know what happened. I wasn't there. So, you know, we have to report both sides of the story, you know.
But sir, be honest with yourself. For you to keep going, the money issue out there is a bit insulting to intelligent people.
No, definitely not. You can't even do it. Like, look what you coming on here saying. You coming on here trying to say that something's wrong with Bishop T.D. Jakes. You don't know that. Where are you getting this from? You just making this stuff up?
I didn't make a fact. That is an assertion.
Okay, then. Well, I'm not making a fact. I'm just saying we have to look at the whole story.
You have just said it for 30 minutes of the show, sir.
We have to look at both sides of the story. We have to look at both sides of the story.
It would have been nice if you had said it once or twice, but you have repeatedly said at least a half an hour of the show.
Okay, hold on real quick. Let him finish his point, extraordinaire, please. Okay, go ahead, PB.
All I'm saying is you have to look at both sides of the story. I mean, just as well as this the whole story could be made up or it could be true, like I said in the beginning. If Bishop Eddie Long did anything, he is wrong. But like I said, I'm standing behind my word. I think it's about the money, and I still think it's about the money because I'm trying to tell you. You know, let me just ask you one question.
Anytime you attack any person in position, what money would necessarily be a byproduct in America? Yes or no? That's a very easy question.
Let me finish my statement. Let me tell you right now. As a straight man, you don't suck penis for 5 years or you don't suck penis for 2 years if you're not gay already. So definitely it got to be like the earlier caller said, the one that had already been abused. Like she said, if you already been touched, why not get some money out of it? I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I'm saying they want the money out of the situation. That's all I'm saying. You can say what you want to say, but it's about the money.
1,000 different colors. But anytime you attack anyone in a position of position in America, money is a byproduct. Would you agree with that or not? That's a very easy question.
It's still about the money.
Okay.
When you get through, my opinion not going to change. It's about the money because you could dish this in
I'm not just arguing money. I'm agreeing with you. I just think that when you go on and on that it's only or all about the money, then you do a disservice to the people who has been victimized.
I don't think so. I'm going to tell you why I don't think so. This is why I don't think so, because this happened every day, and this stuff is handled where people don't even know about it. They could have went to court and handled this, and it didn't even have to be blown up in the media. It didn't even have to be blown up like this, and it could have been handled. It's about press, and it's about money. That's what it's about. Let's be honest.
Well, when you have a man in position as he is, in a spiritual position, you know, we both got different philosophies on it. We're going to have to agree to disagree.
I agree to disagree, but I'm telling you, it happens in smaller cities every day, and this is handled in the court system, and it's not blew up. It happens every day.
Look, Bishop Eddie Long is not an everyday person, okay? He is a man, he is a bishop over an entirely large congregation. And his responsibility, excuse me, is a little greater than John, Dick, and Harry down the street.
Well, we're going to go ahead now. Extraordinaire, thank you so much. I appreciate your thoughts, TB. I appreciate your opinion, you know, and I love the debate. I love the fact that we have two totally different opinions. And, you know, I think it's great as far as viewing both sides. You know, and that's why I love these open forums we have. Extraordinaire, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to actually play the Bishop T.D. Jake Long snippet. He actually did come out this week, and
love
he said
hear.
Something. So
thank you so much for bringing that up.
You
got a very good show, boy. I don't know how you do it, but you do it almost every single time.
Okay. That's it. Well, I appreciate you being a loyal listener, so thank you calling in tonight. All right, so now we're going to go ahead and play it, that he mentioned it, and then I'm going to play the Spencer LeGrand interview shortly after, because I think this is something that definitely needs to be heard, And many have asked, what does Bishop T.D. Longs have to say? Well, now we're going to find out here on Brown Sugar Radio. We'll be right back.
For the lifter of our head, thank God for Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord that was on our side,
we would have been swallowed up. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. While we're in the spirit of prayer, there's probably not a person in America or around the world that does not know the recent tragedies that have gone on in New Birth, and that Bishop Eddie Long is up under severe scrutiny during this time. And I think that we as Christians should just pray. I think we should just pray. I think we should pray for everybody that is adversely affected. Everybody, just pray. Cover them with the blood. Cover them with prayer. Lift them up in the name of Jesus and undergird them. Someone, stand up. We're going to pray for the family in just a moment. Somebody said to me, you haven't come out and said anything publicly. I said, there's nothing to say. There's nothing to say. You can't make great decisions with poor information. Until you can separate facts from conjecture, there is nothing to say. So you hold your peace, keep praying. When all of this is over, one thing's for sure, somebody, if not everybody in it, is going to need the blood. Come on, somebody. Either way you cut it, the blood has never lost its power. Either way you go, I know a man from Galilee who's able to deliver you and set you free. I don't care what it is, I don't care when it is, and I don't care who it is. God said, my grace is sufficient. And so we're just standing over in the corner with a blood bucket. Woo! And whoever needs some can get some. But I don't know about you, before I sprinkle some on anybody else, if you excuse me a little bit, I want to put a little bit. I want to put just a little bit on myself. Glory. Anybody else in here willing to admit you need a little blood? I need a little blood. I need the blood of Jesus all over my life, every day of my life. Glory to God. Ain't going to have no headlines. I'm going to tell you right now, I need the blood. Who else needs the blood in here? If it were not for the blood of Jesus, I'd have been consumed a long time ago. I'd just wallow in it and lay in it and roll over in it. And every time the devil tried to kill me, I screamed, the blood! The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. That's my only defense. Hey! That's my only defense. It's the blood of the Lamb. Reach out and join hands quickly. We'll take just a moment. Nobody knows what's going to come out of this, but we know at the end of the day, God's in control. Amen. No weapon formed shall prosper. And when everything is said and done, God will get the victory. Can you say amen? Let's just take a minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stretch out our hands to you, asking you to stretch your hand out over the city of Atlanta to all of those people who are affected. You know where the truth is. We know what we heard, and we know what we saw, and we know what folks said. You know what the truth is. Either way it goes, have mercy. Hallelujah. In guilt, have mercy. In innocence, have mercy. In tribulation, have mercy. Whatever happens, have mercy. As a sister church, we stand in prayer for the New Birth Church family, their staff, their friends, their members, all the people who have been saved up under that ministry down through the years. We lift up babies to you and little lambs and young children. And God, cover your people with the blood of Jesus. When everything is all said and done, let the devil know that we're shaken but not stirred. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God the best praise you got. Hey! Hey! Somebody take a minute and help me praise the Lord up in here.
All right, so we're about to have some church up in here, y'all. Anybody shouting? So that's what Bishop Jay
Yeah, I need the blood too. I need.
You feel me, blood? He said he was going to roll all in it, what? Bishop ain't playing, so he answered your question extraordinaire. He actually did have something to say. I'm glad I had that snippet, because that was one of my questions. Where's Bishop Jake? Why isn't he saying anything? So I'm going to clear that up. Actually in North Carolina. There was a comment in the chat in regards to all four of them ganging up and coming out together. Well, actually, Spencer LeGrand, y'all know I'm a research fanatic. I've been doing all my interviewing and all of my different investigations, trying to get all the latest details for the Brown Sugar Radio Laura listeners. And he said he actually did not decide to come forth until after he heard the other young men come out. And he had been battling with it for quite some time, even though his family members knew, his girlfriend knew, you know what I'm saying, his parents knew. He, until he actually went public with this, that's when he actually got delivered from this particular incident. DC Spy, I see your comments in the chat. I'd love for you to call into Brown Sugar Radio. I see that you have a strong opinion there. The call-in number for those of you who'd love to chime in on the conversation is 646-716-8697. All right, 646-716-8697. Please call in. We'd love to hear your thoughts. All right, so here is Spencer LeGrand's interview. We'll be right back, y'all. Keep it locked and loaded on the hottest show on the internet, Brown Sugar Radio.
I pray for everyone, you know, especially Bishop. He knows the truth.
Tonight we have an exclusive interview with one of the young men accusing Bishop Eddie Long of sexual abuse. Why he chose to come forward now, after thinking about it for months. Good evening, I'm John Pruitt.
And I'm Monica Pearson. Spencer LeGrand is the fourth person to come forward with the allegations of sex abuse by Bishop Eddie Long. LeGrand says he met Long while he was a member of the New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Channel 2 investigative reporter Jody Fleischer traveled to Charlotte today to ask LeGrand about the exact accusation.
Spencer LeGrand told me he has immersed himself in his faith to try to get through this difficult time. And he says even though he had already told his family about his claims, he says he did not feel truly free until he went public with his allegations of sexual abuse.
Only one way to God, you know, and that's the truth.
Spencer LeGrand was just 15 years old when his family joined the New Birth Church of Charlotte. According to his lawsuit, he was moved to tears when he heard Bishop Eddie Long speak. He went to meet him. The bishop hugged him, and that was the beginning of their father-son relationship.
I pray for him, too. I really do.
He won't talk about the bishop now or details of the intimate moments they shared, which are spelled out in his lawsuit. It describes trips to Africa and intimate sexual contact in several locations around Atlanta, including the bishop's private office.
Once God's time is ready for it to expose everything, it's going to happen. And I just pray, I just want people to know to keep praying for our strength and for us getting through this.
LeGrand moved back to Charlotte late last year and confided in his family, an ex-girlfriend, and a few friends, including a police officer. He says he did not know about the claims for Maurice Robinson, Anthony Flagg, and Jamal Paris until he heard them on the news. He decided it was his time to speak out, too.
I wasn't free till I came out with it. That's when my life has been much better. This last week has been free.
He didn't want to comment on the bishop's statements to his New Birth congregation. LeGrand says he is now at peace, and he's gaining strength from his faith and releasing his truth.
This is a hard time for the world, and, you know, I have no hate for anyone, because God doesn't produce hate. And I just, you know, I pray for everyone, you know, especially Bishop, because he knows the truth. He knows the truth.
LeGrand says his attorney has advised all of the victims not to comment on the specifics of the lawsuit. Bishop Long's attorney has said he will not be commenting on the allegations either. Reporting in Charlotte, North Carolina, Jody Fleischer, Channel 2 Action News.
Now, I just received a private chat, and because it's private, I won't say the name who sent it to me, but it's a good point in regards to the money again. And it's not extraordinaire that sent this, because I'm sure extraordinaire you would call in and voice your opinion. But the private chat says, if Bishop Eddie Long has received millions of dollars for his faulty acts, why isn't it okay for the plaintiff? That's a good point. Does anybody on the line want to answer that, LT or PB?
I want to say this, Sugar, is that there's no doubt in my mind after hearing what I'm hearing with the audio tapes and all of this stuff, knowing how lawsuits go. I had a lawsuit when I was younger, and my mother, we had to take a doctor to court for malpractice, and my brother had passed away due to a malpractice suit. But anyway, lawyers will advise you not to say anything to the press, because all of what you say in the press will be and can be used against you in court. So there's no doubt in my mind that if they're allowing them to talk to the press, they don't intend to go to court. They're trying to pressure Bishop Eddie Long into settling outside of court because this is a civil case. If it was a criminal suit, they would definitely not be allowed to say anything to the press, or the lawyers would threaten dropping their suit. So because they know that the defendant lawyers are going to tear that up. They're going to tear that Jamal Paris's audio. They're going to take that and use it against him and paint him out to have, discredit his own self. Because in his testimony, he's saying he was getting all this stuff and he didn't come out until after Bishop dropped him. So they're going to use that against him. They're going to use the fact that this kid broke into the church's office. They're going to use that against them. They know they have a very weak case, and they're trying to put pressure on him by trying him in the media. They know he has a 25,000-member church, and they know people are watching it from all over the world. So I think they're trying to pressure him in the corner to say, okay, look, here's a few million dollars for y'all to go away. They tried to do it to Kobe Bryant, but the bishop said he's going to fight it. So, you know, we'll see how it go down in court. But
here's an interesting comment from one of the listeners in the chat room, Teresa Smallwood. Please call in, because what you're saying, I think, is interesting. She states, okay, I just came on and reading some of the posts. Reading some of the posts you on here, I think that might be a typo, but anyway, saying, okay, I just came on here and reading posts, some of you on here are blanking idiots to think this is staged. Teresa, call in and share with us your thoughts in regards to that. Why do you feel so strongly about that? I do want to acknowledge the listeners in the chat room at this time. Also, we have Aaron Bernard Ranson, Beautiful One. It looks like Britmont, DC Spy, Gionic, Golga 14. We have a ton of various anonymous guests in the chat. Then we have, is it Negrito Swayze? I know I saw that name. I'm so sorry. People Connect Radio, Self-Guided, Special Teacher 10, Teresa Smallwood, and Extraordinaire in the chat room evening. So, all right, it looks like, is this another caller here?
Hold on, sugar, real quick. If I could just go ahead and address, if I could add on to what LT was saying here, you know, I absolutely agree. You know, on the first show, when you had the show last week, when I told you I wouldn't be surprised if this whole thing was settled and dropped, I said that from point blank, you know, because that's absolutely, we can front and start as much as we want to say that it's not about the money, but you have to leave that in. That's an option, you know. That, I mean, it could be possible. It could be possible.
Right.
We can't just rule that out.
Uh-huh.
You can't. And I mean, I'm not saying, I mean, the plan is if they want to get money, get money. I mean, if that's what you want to do, get money. But I'm talking about, I'm looking at this whole thing religiously. I mean, because I think that they're going to have to answer to God in part with that too, because they took a part in that too. At 17, 16 years old, you know that no man is supposed to touch you. You know that you're not supposed to be laying down with a man. You know that. I don't care. I mean, whether your preacher told you or not, I don't care what the preacher told you. If you read the Bible for yourself, you know.
Right. Mhm. Yeah, that's a good point.
So they can get their money, you know? They still going to pay you. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true. You know. Oh man. Teresa Smallwood says she wish she could call in, but her cell phone's dead. Ah, shucks. But I would love to read some of her chats. She said, obviously, no one understands the law. The burden of proof is on Long. So what she's saying is the boys don't have to prove anything. He does. He's the one that has to prove he's innocent. They don't have to prove that they're
lying. No, that's the opposite. The opposite is they have to prove their case against him. He's innocent until proven guilty. The burden of proof is on them. If you take anybody to court, you need to have documents. You need to have things that show guilt against the person or your case will get thrown out of court. So,
Teresa, you can't find nobody's phone to call from? I want to hear what you got to say.
I don't know. I don't know where you got that from, but the burden of proof is on the plaintiff, not the defendant. He is innocent, according to the law, until proven guilty.
Say it.
Okay.
Say it. Say it.
Oh, man, too bad her phone is dead. That totally sucks. Oh, man, I would love to hear what she has to say.
Yeah, that way we'd all be messed up if we was guilty until proven innocent.
But she's saying this is a civil case. It's different.
No, it's the same.
See, that's a criminal case that you would have to prove them guilty. A civil case is different.
No, no, it's still the same. If I took you to court to sue you because you owe me money, I have to show. We watch that on court TV all the time. Those are all
Please wake up in the morning and watch People's Court or something. Please wake up in the morning.
Yeah, you have to prove that a person owed you money or something or the case gets thrown out because they can say, I never signed nothing. And if they don't have the documents showing that they signed them, then there's no case.
Watch Judge Matthews. Please watch Judge Matthews, Judge Judy, please.
Civil court is harder than criminal court because there wasn't a crime committed. So you have to have a mountain hill of proof against somebody to win your case. Or you have to have the public convinced that you got a strong case as an O.J. Simpson.
Oh, hold on, you guys. I think this might be her. Let me see. 901, you're on the air with Brown Sugar Radio. Who's calling and where are you calling from? 901?
Can you hear me?
I mean, 910. I'm just texting like a mug.
Okay,
910. 910, sorry.
That's okay. This is a special teacher, Tim, from your chat room. And
hi,
I've been kind of. Hey.
Welcome.
I just wanted to make one real quick comment about all of this. It could be, this whole Bishop Long thing could really be due to a lot of stuff. I mean, it could possibly be about money. It could be true. It could be from a whole variety of things. But when you listen to the two young guys that have spoken out recently, I think a lot of people need to realize that, you know, it's obviously not easy for them to speak on this matter because it is dealing with homosexuality. And they're exposing a very personal part of their selves. And I also think from what I know from special education alone, that a lot of times when, you know, children are small and they grow up and depending on what environments they're raised in, some of them have a lot of cognitive abilities. And then you have people, older adults, where they can see that, well, there may be some areas cognitively that you can't perceive right, and some people can actually take advantage of that. And, you know, I would hate to think, if this is indeed true, that Bishop Long could kind of see where, obviously they say they were vulnerable with the issue of having a father in their life. So that was one weakness right there. And, you know, if indeed he used his authority or his mentorship and he took advantage of them, then, you know, that's devastating for anybody. I don't care what age you are. That would be devastating for anybody, especially someone that you felt close to, somebody that you trusted. But, you know, like you said, everybody said, well, he's innocent until proven guilty. But, you know, to me, if he's the bishop of this church and he's watching over all of these people and he's claiming to, you know, be this and be that and preaching against homosexuality when what he should be doing is showing the love of Christ within himself, how people can be delivered from that.
Yeah.
And it just
that's
seems
true.
Like he's kind of biased.
Yeah,
in his
I agree
statement,
with that.
You know?
Uh-huh. I agree I do feel like in order for him, if this is true, okay, bottom line, whether the boys were gay or not, you are in a position of leadership. You are in a position where people look up to you, and you have to be accountable. God gave you this position, which is a very, very important position for the kingdom of God. And, you know, it's so funny because just like TB, you said in the chat room, even if these young men get this money, okay, if they continue to live this lifestyle, and if Bishop Long continues to live this lifestyle, if it's all true on both ends, what good is it when you are when you're in hell? You see what I'm saying? What good is it having the money, having the, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, if by any chance they got to hit them in the pocketbook, like Extraordinaire said, hey, hit them in the pocketbook, hit it where it hurts. Okay, they have all this money, but now what? So what are you going to use the money for? Are you going to use the money to help build foundations for other young men that have been victimized?
Exactly.
Are you going to use it and spend it on a new vacation, a vacation and a brand new home? What are your intent? What is your true intent? If they truly are doing this because they care of the welfare of other children and other young men that's under his care, okay, then what's really going to happen? You see what I mean? What are you going to do once you prevail in court? But even if they don't prevail in court, and if it is true, God sees all things, and he can't pull nothing over God's eyes. And I truly believe that if by chance the victim is guilty, that maybe this is God's way of letting it all now hang out, if you will. You know what I'm saying? With God, you cannot mess with God. People are saying, the scripture says, don't touch with my anointing. Don't mess with God's anointing, this, that, and the other. Okay, but let's go even further than that. Don't play with God. Don't play God for a fool.
Exactly.
Okay?
Can I ask
you know what I'm saying? So we have to be mindful of that. God will not continue to allow us to sin and do wrong and expect to get away with it.
Exactly.
Amen.
And it's just something's not right. Now, Bishop may or may not have done this, but something ain't right. It's too many people that are coming out, even people that are not of the church.
Exactly.
This has been going on for years. Yeah, it don't make sense to me. Something is going on. I don't know if this is it, but something ain't right.
Exactly.
Can I ask a question? And
absolutely.
Just to be, I like to play both sides. I like to be biased. I play the devil's advocate at times, but you know my true belief is that something is fishy. You know, with both sides of the thing, because they gotta make a case. So I'm sure they're gonna do that the best they can to make their case. And I believe something is going on with the bishop behind closed doors. But I want to make this statement. We're all looking at the victim, at the predator. We look at the victim, and we all are siding, you know, in our minds, because we all have been victimized. We have been victimized by the court system, justice system, street, whatever. We've been victimized. Everyone has been victimized. So we kind of lean towards, you know, the person who's taking advantage of somebody. But what I want to, a question I got to ask is, when do we hold people accountable for their actions and being involved in things they know to be wrong?
If you can only
be victimized if you allow yourself. Even if you can say I had a history of abuse, who can make that argument when a person becomes the predator from being a victim? We have so many people out there that's been done wrong, and when they do wrong, we all can say, I've been done wrong. That's why I did wrong. But does that work? Does that work with God? Is it just Bishop Eddie Long sinning and not the boy sinning?
Well, you know, LT, in the Bible that it says that you're not held accountable until you're 12. So age does matter. And I would say at the age of 12 or older, you know, according to God's rule now, as far as the rule here on earth, it may be different.
Well, at
you know
17, 18, they're 17, 18 years old. There has to be a legal age set. We can't just say that person that's 25 years old is a victim of a sexual abuse when they willingly have sex with somebody. We have to look at some age that we have to hold people accountable for their actions. And according to the Bible, homosexuality is a sin.
Right.
So the both parties involved, according to the Bible and according to what we believe, they both sin.
Absolutely.
And we don't
look
at their sin. We're only looking at the bishop's sin because he has a double sin by taking advantage of their youth and their young, you know, and them being under him.
And not even as far as that, LT. I want to say this is a man that's in leadership, okay?
Exactly.
The reason why we hold him accountable, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, as a parent, all right, your kids get into trouble, who they coming after? They coming after the parent.
Exactly.
Right.
So
but I
if
also
he's,
teach our kids.
If
we
he's
also
supposed
to
be the
kids.
Spiritual leader and the spiritual, you know what I mean, father, he's the head of this church, all right? You are supposed to be the leader. You are the man that God anointed and ordained in order to lead his flock. And you are misleading, if this is true, all right, allegedly, he is misusing and abusing that power.
That's right. That's right.
The elder, and as the man that knows more of God, he is the seasoned Christian. He is the one that is supposed to know all and took all these classes and workshops and all this, that, and the other. He is the one I fault the most. Now, are they both wrong? Absolutely. Absolutely. They're wrong. But like I tell my kids, all right, I have a 4-year-old. Then I have an 11-year-old. I see them in the living room. If I come home and they in there tearing up some stuff or they doing something they're not supposed to, both of them are in trouble, but I'm really getting on that 11-year-old. Why? Because I told her, you're the oldest. You're supposed to be the example. You feel what I'm saying?
And let me add
in
there.
So I get on her and I'm like, you know what? You don't teach your sister this. This is wrong.
Right.
You teach her. You lead her by example. You and I'm on her. Granted, the 4-year-old, like I said, she'll get in trouble too. She may get a timeout or something like that. But her punishment is not as severe as the 11-year-old because the 11-year-old should have known better. You follow what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even the Bible tells us in Timothy that, you know, a bishop is to be blameless.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right.
So any leader, I don't care. They're at a higher standard than opposed to the people just going, the people going to church dealing with everyday issues. That leader has a higher accountability. And that's what the word tells us.
Don't you all think that if we have, just like with our kids, we don't want our daughters to go out and get pregnant as soon as they're old enough to, you know, to have sex. But don't you think a lot of responsibility does fall on us to educate people to understand that you can be put in a position, and if somebody is over you, don't do, you know, what they're trying to get you to do. I think that the accountability falls on both sides. They were 17 and 18, and yeah, they were a lot younger than the bishop. But at the same time, they're definitely at an age to decide whether they want to have sex with somebody or not. So being coerced into it, he's wrong. And the Bible says too much is given, much is required. So if he is guilty, this requirement of money, millions of dollars, that it may be paid out or whatever, that's what he gets. That's his punishment. That's what he's supposed to get. It should be worse than that. But this is what we're going to see it play out. But at the same time, we have to teach people not to put themselves in positions to become a victim. There's a saying that there's no victims, only volunteers. You know, I tell my daughters, I said, if you don't want to have sex with a boy, but you like him, don't be nowhere alone with the boy.
That's right.
You can put yourself in a situation to get heated.
Real.
You know, it gets hot. Y'all get the kissing. Y'all get the doing things. Your body, at your age, your mind is not strong enough to handle what your body is going to be telling you. So you're going to fall prey to what's
natural. That's an excellent point that you made. You feel me? I like what LTR Miss Fitness says. The bigger problem is people looking at these preachers as God. They are man, flesh and blood.
Amen. I agree.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And
you know?
Before I go, I just wanted to make another comment.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you calling in to the show tonight. And Special Teacher 10, did you have another comment you want to make before you go?
Yeah, I have one quick comment to make. That I just feel like with all of this, regardless however it goes down, that it's bad enough that the black man in America is already stereotyped. And I just feel that this whole issue makes the black man overall looks like they can't be leaders within the church or their families.
Oh, and it's sad. It's sickening.
Yeah.
And
it's
I
really
agree.
Sad.
It's sickening.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah,
it is.
I agree.
But thank you for your time.
It is. Oh, thank you so much.
All right, bye.
For calling in. All right, PB, any final thoughts before we close tonight?
You know, my final thought that I just brought up in the chat room that I really haven't heard anybody else say here tonight is like, where were the kids' parents at? Where was their mother at? You know, I mean, at the same time, the kids are old enough to know, but at the same time, what happened to, like, parenting skills? You know, like, you know, when my mama used to send me off somewhere, you know, she wanted to ask questions, you know, like these kids going on all these trips, he buying them all this stuff and stuff, like, why aren't the parents asking questions? That's just like a concern I have. Like, the parents don't ask no questions. We don't do that no more.
You know, there was just like the Michael Jackson thing, man. Parents were sending their kids. After they heard allegations that Michael Jackson was pedophilian on kids, being a pedophile against these kids, they still sent their children to be with them. And I think that starstruck thing works on the parents just as bad or maybe even worse than it do on the people that's directly under them. You know, and people saying that they known this kind of stuff was going on in the church for all this time, and yet they're still allowing their kids to be going out of country with them.
You know, that's the thing that gets me, like, because, like, from what I've been hearing about this whole case, is people have been suspect of Bishop Eddie Long's sexuality. So if you've been hearing this rumor for the longest, you, like, just going to send your kid off with them. with no questions or nothing. Like, no other chaperones go, nobody else from the church goes, just the pastor and the kids going. Like, come on. This ain't adding up. It's not adding up.
All right, you guys are absolutely right. Can you guys hear me now? Uh-oh, hello?
Yeah.
TB, can y'all hear me? Okay, I was like, what's going on with the show? I can't hear you. Okay, what I was saying, I was wondering, I'm like, what's wrong with the show? Okay, but you're absolutely right. I agree. And I just feel like there's no way that he should have had that much access to the children. The parents should have been more involved. Granted, the only drawback or the only defense I could say for the parents is the fact that maybe they felt comfortable, you know, with they let their guard down in the church, which many people do. They feel like, hey, this is a man of God. I should be able to trust him.
You know, and even with that sugar, you know, I just feel like if you going, like, say for instance, that's just like on the school. Okay, let me sum this up real fast. Within a school, like if you're taking your kids on a field trip, it's normally chaperones go on their trip. So that's just like if your kid, like say for instance, the pastor say that your kid's going taking a trip to Africa. Somebody else is going on that trip with the pastor. So I think it's other people that's involved in this that know this was going on that didn't step up.
Yeah, that's it. Well, and you're right. That, they had to know something was going on, you know. So it had to be something that was going on. And it's just really heartbreaking and unfortunate, you know, for many that they're sitting by pretty much when, you know, they say silence is approval. You know, when you're silent, you're basically consenting to what's going on. So it's going to be a lot that these people have to answer to, you know, unfortunately.
Okay,
and I just think that is very sad.
Sugar, we have 60 seconds remaining in the show.
All right. Well, I just want to say, all of you, thank you so much for tuning in. This Tuesday night, we're going to have our breast cancer awareness show, so please come back to the show. I had to reschedule it. Then we're going to also make sure that we have Gino come back. Gino is the Latin songbird who's collaborated with such artists such as Smokey Diggler and Busy Bone from Bone Thugs and Harmony. I'd love for you all to come back through and check out those shows. And so thank you all for all of you that called in, supported the show, gave your opinion. I just want to say that I appreciate each and every one of you, and thank you so much. Continue to log Brown Sugar Radio into your favorites so that you can be notified when we have up-and-coming shows such as this. PB, if you can please put the chat, my computer's froze here, can you put the links in the chat room for Brown Sugar Radio's Twitter and Facebook account? And definitely for those of you listening to the archive segment, you can follow me at twitter.com. And you know that it's Brown Sugar Radio. That's S-U-G-A. Also, too, you can check me out on Facebook, and it's Brown Sugar Radio Show. And you know, S-U-G-A, once again, Sugar Radio Show on Facebook. All right? So other than that, I just want to say, you know, this story here has been so controversial, so touching. We're just going to have to continue to follow the developments. And let all of our, you know, so all our listeners come back. We may have another show as this you know, case opens up and continues to unfold. So thank you all for joining us. PB, certainly you can give out your links. I know your Facebook. I know we're not streaming live, but certainly all of the archive listeners can check you out.
Okay, if anybody want to reach me, I'm definitely available on Twitter, twitter.com/PBCreations. That's creations with a Z. So you definitely can look me up there.
Okay, sounds good. So definitely come back and check out the show. And I just want to say thank you all for coming through on the show this evening. You all have been such a great support of Brown Sugar Radio, and I know this topic is very touching, but it needs to be revealed. So I just want to say thank you all so very, very much. So we're going to go ahead and close tonight. You know, I like to close with the motivational saying that I have for tonight is those who dwell among the beauties and mysteries of the earth are never alone or weary of life. So you guys have a fantastic evening. I want to say God bless each and every one of you, and come back again. All right, good night.
Good night.